Hey everyone, it's been a while since I podcasted, and today, of all days, the day before Easter, I figured I should get back in the game. So today I kind of wanted to talk about halos versus heroes versus happenstance and how we tend to put education in two categories, good and bad. We tend to put teachers into great teachers, these agents of change, and these teachers who just stay in their classrooms and don't do anything fabulous outside of their four walls. And we tend to make judgment calls based on our personal experiences, obviously. And there are schools that fit into every category, from affluent to underprivileged to district to independent to free reduced lunches to overcrowded, underfunded. There's just every category imaginable for what a school falls under. And there are different levels that we, you know, believe are the greatness that falls in education. So I think it's interesting how, if you asked any educator, they could put a label on their school as being positive, affluent, middle class, negative, work in progress. We all tend to have these images we have of where we work and where we want to work and the teachers we want to work with. And we don't always get that choice. So I have had great teams. I have had not so great teams, but I take my responsibility for my role in whether or not they were great or not. And I have worked in tough schools with drugs and gangs, and I've worked in very affluent schools with drugs and disrespect. And it's hard sometimes as an educator to see that I have judgments and I have these points of view and outlooks that might guide my role in these particular circumstances. And there's a great show on HBO called Wyatt Cenac's Problem Areas. And it's been on for 2 seasons and I didn't notice it until recently. And one of the seasons, the first season, was all about policing and how the corruption, but also the positive aspects of police departments around the United States. And the second season, which just started, their third episode just dropped for the second season, is focused more on education and the positives and negatives of. And as educators, we know that there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of negatives, and that there are teachers who wear halos. And to me, a halo-wearing teacher is one that thinks they are fantastic, doesn't stop and reflect on maybe that they might have some prejudices and maybe they might have something that's influencing the way they do things. Now, this is by no means saying that they're not great, but they sometimes are holier than thou and they sometimes neglect to actually face issues that they're afraid of or that make them feel uncomfortable. And then you have the heroes, which basically every day are out in the field and doing everything they can, and they're open-minded and agents of change, and they're doing great things, and they reflect. And they reflect on their own practices and their own classroom, and they're constantly trying to figure out how to make it better for their students, but they tend to stay in their bubble. And then you have the happenstance teachers who happen to, you know, be agents of change in their school, and then they take that time, the serendipity moments, to go out there and make change outside of their schools. And this is the category I think that kind of the fewest amount of teachers fall in. Now, if you're one of those people who fall into that category, I'm so proud of you. But honesty gets me. Humility gets me. And I don't fall in that category, because what I tend to do is everything I can for my kids in my own four walls, and I and even in the hallways, and I will try to help other teachers in my building, but I'm just so bogged down with grading and standardized testing and lesson planning and all of the extracurricular things I do for my students that I don't have the time to be an activist. And on this TV show, Problem Areas, they talk a lot about activism and a lot about teachers who are out there picketing and walking in the streets and marching for change. And there, a lot of them are marching for better wages and better conditions for their students. And that is a great thing. But some of us just, we don't have the time. And we can't take off work and strike to go do these wonderful things. So we tend to stay in our little community bubble, which is not a bad thing. Heroes do great things every day because they reflect, because they look at a lesson that they might have taught in one class and realize that it's not the students who didn't get it. It's your delivery that maybe was the problem. It's teachers who don't play the blame game, who don't blame parents, who don't blame circumstances outside their control, because every student in a school, whether it's privileged and affluent or disadvantaged and hindered, doesn't matter. They come in with baggage, whether their parents are getting a divorce or whether they've gone to bed hungry or whether their parents are working three jobs and they're partially raising their three or four younger siblings. Whatever the baggage is, they're coming in with it. And we often don't know about it, or we are blind to it. What we see is misbehavior, and what we see is them not turning in their homework or things like that. And most heroes stop and go, hey, you know, I'll give you an extension. Did something, you know, what's happening? Is there anything I can do for you to help you, you know, get this paper in? Here's another copy. Most teachers do that. I don't think that most teachers are out to get kids. Now, that's not to say there aren't some of those teachers, but I've worked with some of those teachers, by the way, but for the most part, we're all out for what's best for our kids. But there are these circumstances that sometimes we don't want to face, and prejudice and racism and non-equity is something that we want to talk about on the surface, but we don't want to dig deep. And I get it. I don't want to dig deep either. But so I was watching Why It's the Next show on HBO, and they had this panel of teachers, predominantly white, by the way, who were being given an opportunity to go to a professional development course on racism. And they were talking about what racism is, but then they wanted to clarify what race was, because sometimes we get in an image of what racism is and we don't want to believe we're racist even slightly, but it's human nature to have these thoughts. It's what you do with them that makes us different. So they were talking about how educators want to believe they're not racist at all, and they have no misconceptions and no judgments, and then they are so open-minded that we're just perfect in every way. But what we need to do is we need to say, why did I put that child in that seat? And why do I tend to discipline this kid a little bit more than this kid? And why do girls constantly hear that boys are smarter than them in math and science, right? It's not just a race thing. It's a gender thing. It's a socioeconomic thing. I mean, it's tied to everything. But the show opened my eyes because there was this one woman who was talking about, they said, describe what race looks like. How would you describe it in a word? And people were giving these physical characteristics, not just skin color, but the shape of the eyes and the shape of the lips and everything else, that most people would say this is a distinguisher of how do you know they're a different race? How do you know they're coming from different backgrounds of the world? And this one woman said lips. And then when the conversation got a little bit deeper, she started to cry and she realized that that was a racist statement and that it was something that she never thought of herself as. She never thought of herself as ever singling out someone because they're different when by nature we do. So they were talking about how it doesn't make you a bad person to, you know, have these thoughts, because almost everybody has seen a policeman, right, and made a judgment call, or seen someone of a different ethnicity and crossed the street because they were afraid, or made a judgment call based on how someone was dressed. I mean, I was wearing sweats and a t-shirt, and I went in to buy perfume in a Macy's, and they wouldn't help me. And I was like, I have the money. And it was just the way I was dressed, right? So it's happened to everybody at some point. I mean, I went to UCLA, and it's like nestled in Brentwood and Beverly Hills, and it's a safe place, most people think. But I had run-in with the police. I had run-in with men who did not want to do something safe, you know, nice or respectful with me. So we've all had those circumstances of bad things happening to us, but we have to take those and use them to make it better for other people. So I guess what I'm saying is I didn't just become woke. I've known about the disparity and inequality and all of this stuff forever. But I tend to talk about it with my husband or in a closed room with my teammates where we see that a certain group might be doing better than other groups based on a label we've put on them. And we all hate labels, but especially in the educational field, we tend to put people in categories based on intelligence, etc. And it's been striking me a lot lately that I need to not accept that I've had thoughts, because we've all had them. And if you believe you haven't, then I'm like, you just have to accept that we've all thought evil thoughts or, you know, mean thoughts about other people at some point in our lives, which thank goodness is why people can't read minds, because if they could, we'd all be in trouble. But being aware that I make judgments is what I need to focus on. And I have very, very ethnically diverse classes. I really do. And I don't recognize sometimes that I call on certain people. And when I'm wandering around the room, I tend to kind of go to one corner, making an assumption about these kids, and not necessarily about their race, but about their behavior, about any aspect, right, of their personalities or their appearances. I make the same kind of judgments that I hate when I see other people do, and I have to be aware of it. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, and it's uncomfortable to think of myself as being anything but an open-minded, growth-oriented person, and I am. But I have issues that come from being a white teacher, a white female teacher. So I hear on these shows that the majority of teachers are white women. Yes. But with that statement they make this underlying kind of current that the racism is coming because most teachers are white women. And I disagree with that. And I think that that's what hit home to me watching these episodes, is that they're making a judgment call on white female teachers, that we're not aware that these things might be happening. And that's what brought it home to me, is like, am I? Am I one of those teachers who doesn't see my faults? I recognize I'm not the best teacher. I get that. I have room to grow all the time. I mean, I have lessons that fall flat. I have situations where I blow up and I raise my voice at a kid. And then afterwards I go, what did I do that for? I could have just taken a deep breath. I am like the mindful person. I preach mindfulness. I preach positivity. I preach open-mindedness. I preach calmness and respect and take a deep breath and respond, not react. And yet I react. And I guess my point today is, I don't know the answer. There's so much negativity that sometimes it feels like I'm a grain of sand and the sand dune is collapsing on top of me, and I don't know how to change anything. I'm just one little person. But if you've seen Lord of the Rings, one hobbit can do a lot of change. And we just have to start talking about it. So I guess the whole point of this podcast is that we need to talk about it. And I don't know how, And I know Twitter is a positive place and I want to stay a positive place, but I'm going to try to write a little more honestly from my hurdles that I have to overcome as a person, not just as an educator. And hopefully, you know, most of mine will be positive reflections that I have found myself growing as a person. And I don't want to be negative. And I don't think that most educators or that the educational system as a whole is negative. We have cracks, but we can't fix it with glue. We have to basically resurface it. And the only way we can do that is by having conversations that we don't necessarily want to have. So I guess that's what I have to say today. So thank you for listening. And I will podcast more frequently about ways of which I'm going to not try to be one of those halo wearers, although they're not negative. That's not a bad thing. It's just kind of a, you got your blinders on. And I don't want to just stumble into situations where I can do good. I want to create the situations where I'm doing good. And the only way I can do that is being honest with myself and being aware of my miscomings and my misconceptions and these prejudices that I have in my head, even though I don't want them there, they're there because that's the circumstances in which I was raised. I was raised differently than other people. So of course I have judgments. So I am going to let that phone call be the end of my podcast. Thank you for listening, guys. Hey everyone, it's been a while since I podcasted. And today, of all days, the day before Easter, I figured I should get back in the game. So today I kind of wanted to talk about halos versus heroes versus happenstance and how we tend to put education in two categories, good and bad. We tend to put teachers into great teachers, these agents of change, and these teachers who just stay in their classrooms and don't do anything fabulous outside of their four walls. And we tend to make judgment calls based on our personal experiences, obviously. And there are schools that fit into every category from affluent to underprivileged to district to independent to free reduced lunches to overcrowded, underfunded. There's just every category imaginable for what a school falls under. And there are different levels that we, you know, believe are the greatness that falls in education. So I think it's interesting how if you asked any educator, they could put a label on their school as being positive, affluent, middle class, negative, work in progress. We all tend to have these images we have of where we work and where we want to work and the teachers we want to work with. And we don't always get that choice. So I have had great teams. I have had not so great teams, but I take my responsibility for my role in whether or not they were great or not. And I have worked in tough schools with drugs and gangs, and I've worked in very affluent schools with drugs and disrespect. And it's hard sometimes as an educator to see that I have judgments and I have these points of view and outlooks that might guide my role in these particular circumstances. And there's a great show on HBO called Wyatt Cenac's Problem Areas. And it's been on for 2 seasons and I didn't notice it until recently. And one of the seasons, the first season, was all about policing and how the corruption, but also the positive aspects of police departments around the United States. And the second season, which just started, their third episode just dropped for the second season, is focused more on education and the positives and negatives of. And as educators, we know that there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of negatives. And that there are teachers who wear halos And to me, a halo wearing teacher is one that thinks they are fantastic, doesn't stop and reflect on maybe that they might have some prejudices and maybe they might have something that's influencing the way they do things. Now, this is by no means saying that they're not great, but they sometimes are holier than thou and they sometimes neglect to actually face issues that they're afraid of or that make them feel uncomfortable. And then you have the heroes, which basically every day are out in the field and doing everything they can, and they're open-minded and agents of change, and they're doing great things, and they reflect. And they reflect on their own practices and their own classroom, and they're constantly trying to figure out how to make it better for their students, but they tend to stay in their bubble. And then you have the happenstance teachers who happen to, you know, be agents of change in their school, and then they take that time, the serendipity moments, to go out there and make change outside of their schools. And this is the category I think that kind of the fewest amount of teachers fall in. Now, if you're one of those people who fall into that category, I'm so proud of you. But honesty gets me. Humility gets me. And I don't fall in that category, because what I tend to do is everything I can for my kids in my own four walls and even in the hallways, and I will try to help other teachers in my building, but I'm just so bogged down with grading and standardized testing and lesson planning and all of the extracurricular things I do for my students that I don't have the time to be an activist. And on this TV show, Problem Areas, they talk a lot about activism and a lot about teachers who are out there picketing and walking in the streets and marching for change. And a lot of them are marching for better wages and better conditions for their students. And that is a great thing. But some of us just, we don't have the time. And we can't take off work and strike to go do these wonderful things. So we tend to stay in our little community bubble, which is not a bad thing. Heroes do great things every day because they reflect, because they look at a lesson that they might have taught in one class and realize that it's not the students who didn't get it. It's your delivery that maybe was the problem. It's teachers who don't play the blame game, who don't blame parents, who don't blame circumstances outside their control, because every student in a school, whether it's privileged and affluent or disadvantaged and hindered, doesn't matter. They come in with baggage, whether their parents are getting a divorce or whether they've gone to bed hungry or whether their parents are working three jobs and they're partially raising their three or four younger siblings. Whatever the baggage is, they're coming in with it. And we often don't know about it, or we are blind to it. What we see is misbehavior, and what we see is them not turning in their homework or things like that. And most heroes stop and go, hey, you know, I'll give you an extension. Did something, you know, what's happening? Is there anything I can do for you to help you, you know, get this paper in? Here's another copy. Most teachers do that. I don't think that most teachers are out to get kids. Now, that's not to say there aren't some of those teachers, but I've worked with some of those teachers, by the way, but for the most part, we're all out for what's best for our kids. But there are these circumstances that sometimes we don't want to face, and prejudice and racism and non-equity is something that we want to talk about on the surface, but we don't want to dig deep. And I get it. I don't want to dig deep either. But so I was watching Wyatt's the Next show on HBO. And they had this panel of teachers, predominantly white, by the way, who were being given an opportunity to go to a professional development course on racism. And they were talking about what racism is, but then they wanted to clarify what race was, because sometimes we get in an image of what racism is and we don't want to believe we're racist even slightly, but it's human nature to have these thoughts. It's what you do with them that makes us different. So they were talking about how educators want to believe they're not racist at all, and they have no misconceptions and no judgments, and then they are so open-minded that we're just perfect in every way. But what we need to do is we need to say, why did I put that child in that seat? And why do I tend to discipline this kid a little bit more than this kid? And why do girls constantly hear that boys are smarter than them in math and science, right? It's not just a race thing. It's a gender thing. It's a socioeconomic thing. I mean, it's tied to everything. But the show opened my eyes because there was this one woman who was talking about, they said, describe what race looks like. How would you describe it in a word? And people were giving these physical characteristics, not just skin color, but the shape of the eyes and the shape of the lips and everything else that most people would say this is a distinguisher of how do you know they're a different race? How do you know they're coming from different backgrounds of the world? And this one woman said lips. And then when the conversation got a little bit deeper, she started to cry and she realized that that was a racist statement and that it was something that she never thought of herself as. She never thought of herself as ever singling out someone because they're different when by nature we do. So they were talking about how it doesn't make you a bad person to, you know, have these thoughts because almost everybody has seen a policeman, right, and made a judgment call, or seen someone of a different ethnicity and crossed the street because they were afraid, or made a judgment call based on how someone was dressed. I mean, I was wearing sweats and a t-shirt, and I went in to buy perfume in a Macy's, and they wouldn't help me. And I was like, I have the money. And it was just the way I was dressed, right? So it's happened to everybody at some point. I mean, I went to UCLA, and it's like nestled in Brentwood and Beverly Hills, and it's a safe place, most people think. But I had run-in with the police. I had run-in with men who did not want to do something safe, you know, nice or respectful with me. So we've all had those circumstances of bad things happening to us, but we have to take those and use them to make it better for other people. So I guess what I'm saying is, I didn't just become woke. I've known about the disparity and inequality and all of this stuff forever. But I tend to talk about it with my husband or in a closed room with my teammates where we see that a certain group might be doing better than other groups based on a label we've put on them. And we all hate labels. But especially in the educational field, we tend to put people in categories based on intelligence, et cetera. And it's been striking me a lot lately that I need to not accept that I've had thoughts, because we've all had them. And if you believe you haven't, then I'm like, you just have to accept that we've all thought evil thoughts or, you know, mean thoughts about other people at some point in our lives, which thank goodness is why people can't read minds, because if they could, we'd all be in trouble. But being aware that I make judgments is what I need to focus on. And I have very, very ethnically diverse classes. I really do. And I don't recognize sometimes that I call on certain people. And when I'm wandering around the room, I tend to kind of go to one corner, making an assumption about these kids, and not necessarily about their race, but about their behavior, about any aspect, right, of their personalities or their appearances. I make the same kind of judgments that I hate when I see other people do, and I have to be aware of it. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, and it's uncomfortable to think of myself as being anything but an open-minded, growth-oriented person, and I am, but I have issues that come from being a white teacher, a white female teacher. So I hear on these shows that the majority of teachers are white women. Yes, but with that statement they make this underlying kind of current that the racism is coming because most teachers are white women. And I disagree with that. And I think that that's what hit home to me watching these episodes, is that they're making a judgment call on white female teachers, that we're not aware that these things might be happening. And that's what brought it home to me, is like, am I? Am I one of those teachers who doesn't see my faults? I recognize I'm not the best teacher. I get that. I have room to grow all the time. I mean, I have lessons that fall flat. I have situations where I blow up and I raise my voice at a kid. And then afterwards I go, what did I do that for? I could have just taken a deep breath. I am like the mindful person. I preach mindfulness. I preach positivity. I preach open-mindedness. I preach calmness and respect and take a deep breath and respond, not react. And yet I react. And I guess my point today is, I don't know the answer. There's so much negativity that sometimes it feels like I'm a grain of sand and the sand dune is collapsing on top of me and I don't know how to change anything. I'm just one little person. But if you've seen Lord of the Rings, one hobbit can do a lot of change, and we just have to start talking about it. So I guess the whole point of this podcast is that we need to talk about it. And I don't know how. And I know Twitter is a positive place and I want to stay a positive place, but I'm going to try to write a little more honestly from my hurdles that I have to overcome as a person, not just as an educator. And hopefully, you know, most of mine will be positive reflections that I have found myself growing as a person. And I don't want to be negative. And I don't think that most educators, or that the educational system as a whole, is negative. We have cracks, but we can't fix it with glue. We have to basically resurface it. And the only way we can do that is by having conversations that we don't necessarily want to have. So I guess that's what I have to say today. So thank you for listening. And I will podcast more frequently about ways of which I'm going to not try to be one of those halo wearers, although they're not negative. That's not a bad thing. It's just kind of you got your blinders on. And I don't want to just stumble into situations where I can do good. I want to create the situations where I'm doing good. And the only way I can do that is being honest with myself and being aware of my miscomings and my misconceptions and these prejudices that I have in my head. Even though I don't want them there, they're there, because that's the circumstances in which I was raised. I was raised differently than other people, so of course I have judgments. So I am going to let that phone call be the end of my podcast. Thank you for listening, guys.